Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Monday. It's a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Overtime pay to Virginia Department of Corrections security staff increased by about 127% between the fiscal years 2018 and 2025, costing $247 million in the process. Dave Cantor has this story.
The greatest overtime increase came between 2021 and 2022, when the department upped the payments by 62%, according to documentation obtained through a public records request. The increased OT pay comes amid persistent staffing shortages, a national problem that's also been blamed for violence in Virginia prisons. Department spokesperson Kyle Gibson wrote in an email that overtime is intended to, quote, provide essential security post coverage at facilities throughout the VDOC. Gerard Robinson is a University of Virginia professor who researches criminal justice reform. He said correctional officers have a higher rate of alcohol abuse and mental health issues when compared to the American public. Awareness of that could make hiring additional staff more difficult.
We have to look at this as a public health problem for correctional officers and the people they work with, rather than just an employee wage issue.
Current postings for open correctional officer positions in Virginia list a starting salary of around $47,000. A part of the state's spending plan being negotiated in Richmond includes $7.8 million for staff bonuses in the next fiscal year. And while the agency's budget decreased between 2025 and 2026, the current biennial budget proposal could see VDOC's allocation hit $1.6 billion. That's an increase of about $90 million over the next 2 years. I'm Dave Cantor.
On Sunday, the Norfolk community honored the ROTC instructor killed by a gunman who burst into his classroom at Old Dominion University. WHRO military reporter Steve Walsh has this story.
Mourners filled the court at Cartway Arena to honor Lieutenant Colonel Brandon Shaw. His wife, Catherine, says he cared deeply about his students.
I truly believe Brandon knew exactly what he was doing in those final moments. He was protecting people. He was protecting his kids.
ODU has been on spring break, but ROTC students filled several rows. Cadet Cecilia Faso describes Shaw as direct.
Thank you for being our professor, our mentor, our friend, and upholding and exceeding the standard. We have the watch from here.
Two students were injured in the shooting. The FBI confirms Shaw confronted the gunman when he entered the classroom and placed himself in front of his students. Steve Walsh, WHRO News.
When a power plant burns coal to create electricity, what's left behind is a highly contained substance known as coal ash. One Virginia utility is now mapping out a plan to deal with the coal ash at one of its decommissioned plants.
One of the notable features that a newer landfill would have is a special liner to keep potential contaminants from the coal ash from leaching out.
Fred Eccles and Cardinal News reporter Matt Bussey will talk about the plan and the cost, their conversation in a little bit. Governor Abigail Spanberger is considering a bill that would help people getting out of prison avoid crippling debt. Michael Pope explains.
Humanization Project co-founder Taj Mahan Heft says people who are incarcerated often feel like getting out of prison seems like the end. But he says it's just the beginning, and it's often one that's slammed with debt from the court system. Not restitution, but a variety of fines and fees that courts assess for everything from having a jury trial to processing paperwork.
What that leads to is a greater likelihood that you're going to feel the need to do something illegal to pay that debt to avoid being violated and potentially getting in trouble and having to stay either under supervision or reincarcerated. It will also lead to predatory lenders being an option that feels like the only thing available, which creates a cycle that impacts not just the individual coming home, but their families.
That's why he's excited about a bill now on the governor's desk that would limit the statute of limitations on that debt, which is currently 60 years in circuit court and 30 years in general district court. The bill would limit all that debt to 10 years. Here's Cami Blatt at the Commonwealth Institute.
We have other ways that we can fund our criminal legal system, not off the backs of those who have the least and relying on folks to commit crimes and continue getting entrenched in the system to fund the system. We need to find other revenue sources in Virginia to fund our courts.
The previous governor vetoed a similar bill, but the current governor has until April 13th to take action on this one. I'm Michael Pope.
The season has ended for UVA men's basketball, falling Sunday night to Tennessee in the NCAA tournament 79-72. The Cavaliers had lost in the first round or first four in 2021, 2023, and 2024, and title-winning coach Tony Bennett abruptly retired before last season. UVA finishes this year with a mark of 30-6 in its first year under coach Ryan Odom. Disabled Virginians under guardianship may be able to vote under a new law waiting for Governor Spanberger's signature. Republicans criticize the effort, but advocates say Virginia will join dozens of other states in allowing the right. Brad Kuttner has this story.
We should not have incapacitated people that don't know what's going on around them voting.
That's Amherst County Republican Delegate Tim Griffin speaking against an effort by Fairfax area Democrat Delegate Kathy Tran that would ask courts to make an additional finding, one of their competency to vote when someone is put under guardianship. Here's Tran.
That maybe they can't take care of their financial responsibilities on their own. Maybe they're not able to make their medical decisions. But to recognize their humanity and to see if they still have that ability and the capacity to have a voice in our democracy.
According to the American Bar Association, Virginia isn't the only state that forbids voting by those under a guardianship, but it's among the few states with no exceptions to the rule. Democrats sent the same bill to former Governor Glenn Youngkin last year, but he cited a section of the Virginia Constitution that says, quote, no person adjudicated to be mentally incompetent shall be qualified to vote until his competency has been reestablished, when he vetoed the effort. Advocates for the disabled community say it's a wrong that's long been in need of correction. Tanya Milling is with the ARC of Virginia. While she understands philosophical debate on the issue, she said sweeping bans rob those under guardianship of any political voice.
There are many kinds of decisions that we make in life, medical, financial, and it doesn't mean that we're not able to look at this issue and make the decision that's important to us.
The effort got some Republican support in the Senate before it was sent to the governor's desk. Spanberger has until April 13 to sign, veto, or amend the measure. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Appalachian Power has a plan to move tons of coal ash from its closed generating plant at Glen Lynn in Giles County to a new landfill the company would build nearby in West Virginia. The coal ash, which contains arsenic, lead, and mercury, among many other pollutants, is currently stored in ponds on the Virginia side of the state line next to the New River. Before anything can be done, APCO will have to get approval from the Virginia State Corporation Commission. Cardinal News business reporter Matt Bussey is covering the issue. He spoke with Fred Eccles.
Matt, a state law passed in 2020 requires Appalachian Power to do something with this coal ash. What are their alternatives?
The law said that the electric utility could find a way to beneficially recycle the coal ash, or it could move it to a more modern landfill that has features that meet certain federal standards. One of the notable features that a newer landfill would have is a special liner to keep potential contaminants from the coal ash from leaching out into soil and groundwater.
The company's plan now is to build such a landfill right next to where the coal ash is. Why that instead of moving it to an existing one?
Their argument is that keeping everything on the property would avoid all of the truck or rail traffic that would come from hauling nearly 7 million cubic yards of coal ash off the property if they were to go that route. It would cut down on safety risks, and it would cut down on the emissions associated with all of that truck traffic going down public roads to wherever this other landfill might have been.
Well, given that the coal ash is obviously not currently in an approved landfill, do we know for certain that it hasn't already contaminated the watershed?
Appalachian Power is currently conducting ongoing groundwater monitoring work to see if there are any of these contaminants that are leaching out of the coal ash into the water and soil. Again, there's kind of a laundry list of elements that coal ash can contain. So they're regularly testing the groundwater to see if any of that is showing up. The Virginia Department of Environmental Quality has also directed Appalachian Power, as part of this coal ash cleanup process, to come up with a surface water monitoring plan that would make sure that coal ash contaminants are not impacting the New River. The Glen Lynn Power Plant sits pretty much right on the New River. So obviously there are concerns that some of that could end up in that water.
Now, Matt, this plan has not yet been approved either by regulators in Virginia or in West Virginia. which is where the landfill would actually be. But if it is, Virginia law, at least, allows the company to recover the cost from its customers. So how could it affect the average power bill?
So Appalachian Power is looking to split the cost of recovery between its Virginia customers and its West Virginia customers. If this plan is approved at its price tag that Appalachian Power has estimated, then starting in 2027, Virginia residential customers, the average Virginia residential customer, could potentially expect a monthly bill increase of about a dollar if West Virginia also approves cost recovery. Now, if the West Virginia regulators say no, but Virginia says yes, well, still got to pay that price tag, so Virginia residential customers might see about $2.25 per month on average. Ultimately, it's up to the State Corporation Commission. It'll be interesting to see how that unfolds as the regulatory case proceeds.
Matt Bussey reports for CardinalNews.org. I'm Fred Eccles.
Cardinal News is a nonprofit online independent news organization covering Southwest and Southside Virginia. In the forecast, there is an increased risk for fires for most of the region today, with heavy winds and low humidity and temperatures falling late today. We'll have some early showers and storms around parts of the region. Highs in areas east in the mid-60s to 75 for Danville. We'll have temperatures falling later this morning in the upper 40s in the southwest, upper 50s for Roanoke, and low 40s for the Blacksburg area. Some clouds in the west tonight, clear in areas east. Lows drop to the low 30s. Tuesday, partly to mostly sunny, highs in the low to upper 50s, and mostly sunny Wednesday, highs in the low to upper 60s. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosworth.